for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Sunday afternoon service of the Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the afternoon.
Oh, Father, we come before you now, Lord. We ask you to touch us, Lord God. Loose your anointing, Lord God. Loose the anointing of the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Touch us, Lord. Which not by might or power, but by your Spirit, Lord God. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Lord Jesus, we just give you the service now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Today, I want to talk to you about curses. For some people, I had a hard time with curses. I had a hard time with curses. I was raised in an occult background. My great-great-grandfather was an Indian shaman. I was the gifted one. And I always had a real deep interest in spiritual things. We had I was raised on a cotton farm down in Alabama. There was a hoodoo doctor, a witch doctor, who lived close by, and I was always extremely interested in him. I don't know why, but I was. Later I found out I was delivered from the Indian witchcraft by an old gentleman who called me out of a crowd and told me that I had been dedicated to Satan before I was born. He told me about my grandfather. He told me the tribe. And all these facts I wasn't really certain of because my father forbid us to talk about it in the house. And my mother would never give us the details. And after she died, she forbid me to investigate as long as she was alive. And so after she died, I went down to Mississippi, to her hometown, met all my relatives down there, went to a little Baptist church, out there looking at the graveyard, and this lady walked up to me and asked me what I was doing, and I said, I'm looking at my grandparents' graves, and she said, who's that? And so I pointed to them, and she said, well, whose child are you? And I said, my mother's name was Blanche. She said, oh, well, Blanche hadn't been back. She said, Blanche left in 1918 and never came back. I said, well, that's right. And I said, you're absolutely correct. That's my aunt, my uncle. Oh, they said, oh, you kinned everybody in the graveyard here. She said, this is a Cox cemetery. I said, this is a Cox church. And so then she began to tell me. And I found out I was a Choctaw. And after that, I found out a lot about it. And I found out that he was a shaman. He was an Indian chief, and he was a shaman. He was a witch doctor. And I began to understand a great deal more. The curses are real. Heritage is real. When you're born, there are certain spirits that are assigned to your family line. This was very prevalent in the Indian background. An Indian boy, when he reached puberty, went through an initiation rite in which he was required to fast food and water. Now, the rites that I am most familiar with are those of the Plains Indians. That's because that's where I did most of my studying. Because for years I thought I was Sioux. I had a picture of a Sioux chief in my bedroom, and I always thought he was our predecessor, and Mother told me, yes, that was true once, to stop my incessant questioning, I think. And so until my mother died, I thought I was part Sioux. I worked on the reservations. I was a pediatric consultant for the Dakotas and Montanas for the Indian hospitals for several years. And the initiation rites didn't vary a great deal from tribe to tribe, but they would a young boy would be required to fast both food and water until he had anything. And he would be seeking an experience with the great spirit. And after he would... When he got so weak he couldn't stand up, And he would take a piece of flint, cut under his breast, stick a stick under there, and hang himself up on leather thongs. And when he had suffered enough, the spirit assigned to him, to his family, would go to him, talk to him, and possess him. And then he would have a relationship with this spirit the rest of his life. If it was a hunting spirit, the spirit would tell him where the buffalo were. If it was a warrior spirit, it would comfort him in battle, make him brave, and allow him to count coup and not be afraid. If it was a witchcraft spirit, it would possess him, and he would be able to manifest witchcraft, power, and be the charmer. In Satanism, I don't know, Lord Jesus, I didn't mean to get into this. In Satanism, they believe that they can get power from their victims. And so if they torture them and they scream, they can draw power out of them. And they will partake of this power. And this was also what the Indians did to their captives. The Mohawks, for instance, would become intoxicated off the screams of the white captives if they tortured them to death. The Arapaho were such experts at torture, they could keep you alive for 3 to 5 days. They skinned you alive to make you scream, or put you on a wagon wheel and slowly roasted you to death, just enough to make you scream in pain so they could draw power from you. You could skin an Indian alive and he would not open his mouth. Now, if an Indian, if they captured another Indian, he shamed first himself, then his village, and then his tribe, if he cried out in pain. And they became very expert at pain, different ways to make their enemy cry out so they could draw power from them. They catch a white man, he shamed the whole countryside right quick. But you can't be skinned alive, people, without crying out in pain unless you... It's just not natural. It's supernatural to be able to stand that much pain. Now, if you're hypnotized, they can operate on you. But that's supernatural. You have a familiar spirit that takes over you. Did y'all know that hypnosis was demonic? And so, let's turn to Exodus 34. You get me talking, I won't even get in the Bible. Exodus 34. Praise you, Lord God. In Exodus 34, verse 5, Moses is going back up on the Mount of Transfiguration, back up on the Mount of on Mount Sinai to get the second set of tablets. And God appears to him and passes before him in a cloud. Then the Lord descended in a cloud and stood there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. In Hebrew, the name indicates the nature. When God proclaims his name, he's proclaiming his nature. And you know, you've all read the various names of God: Jehovah Rapha, the God that healed you; Jehovah Shalom, a God of peace, and so forth. Well, here God is proclaiming his nature. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in truth and goodness, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, by no means clearing the guilty. If you have a New International that says, by no means leaving the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Have I lost? Y'all hear me okay? They can't hear me in the back, though. Okay, we're on Exodus 34, chapter verses 5, 6, and 7. It says, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generations. Now, that is the nature of God. That's not the only place it appears. It appears in Exodus 4:6, Numbers 14:18, Jeremiah 32:18, Deuteronomy 5, Isaiah 65:7, Amos 4:2, Psalms 103:17, Lamentations 5, 7 to 18. In case y'all want to check and see if it appears anyplace else, it appears lots of places in the Bible. That is God's nature. And God says God doesn't change. He visits the iniquities of the fathers onto the children for the third and the fourth generation. Those are generational curses. And what is a curse? A curse is a spoken evil implication. God spoke these curses to Moses. And then he spoke them to the children of Israel. And they agreed to them. Now, and these were the curses for not obeying God's commandments. Everyone says that's Old Testament. Well, you remember that when Paul and Silas came back from their first missionary journey, a number of men had come in to Antioch and told all the Christians there who had come in from non-Hebrew stock, said, "You men must be circumcised and keep the law of Moses." Well, Paul said, "No, that's not right." And they had this mild argument over it. I bet there was some foot stomping and yelling, boy, I'll tell you. And so they went back to Jerusalem. And the results of that is recorded in Acts 15. Let's look in Acts 15. They all got together. Peter got up and spoke and said in verse 6, says, "And the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. There was much dispute. And Peter rose up and said to them." And then Paul got up and testified. And then the Pharisees got up and said they got to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. And then James, who was the leader of the Pharisees, got a prophecy from God. And it's recorded in verse 16. It's from Amos. And then he gave the interpretation of the prophecy in verse 19. "Therefore I judge that we should not trouble those from among the heathen who are turning to God, but we should write them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood." If you come on down to verse 28, this is what they said in the letter they wrote the churches. "What seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us, to lay on you no necessary burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. Well, if you keep yourselves from these, you will do well." What he says here is that these are the things that will bring you back under the curse of the Jewish law. Well, let's turn over and look at those curses. Let's look at Deuteronomy 28. In verse 1, it says, "If you come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, and carefully observe all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." See, you don't have to go out and look for the blessings when you're in God's will. They'll run down the road and overtake you. "Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, increase of your cattle and offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. And blessed shall you be when you come in and blessed when you shall go out. And the Lord shall cause your enemies who rise against you." And so it goes on down to verse 14. It says you're going to be the head and not the tail and on top and not underneath. And God's going to bless you and meet all your needs. But verse 15 says, "It shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe all his statutes and commandments, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed in the country, and cursed shall be your basket and needle bowl, and cursed shall be the fruit of your body, and the produce, and your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks, and cursed shall you be when you come in. And the Lord shall send cursing and confusion and rebuke you. A plague and the consumption, the fever and the inflammation." And on it goes to verse 68. You'll notice there are 15 verses of blessing and 50 verses of cursing. 53 verses of cursing. And I want you to read that. And the verse of absolute poverty is in here. Look at verse 48. Well, let's look at verse 47. "Because you did not serve the Lord
your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and need of all things. Now that's absolute poverty, folks. You notice they don't have a house. They don't have any water to drink, any food to eat, any clothes on their body, and they need all things. That's the curse of absolute poverty. Comes from eating or drinking of blood, things strangled, idolatry, and from sexual impurity. Those are curses that come down through the family line. There's some other curses in him. Let's look at Deuteronomy 23. Let's flip over to Deuteronomy 23. It says 23:2, one of illegitimate birth shall not enter the congregation of the Lord, even to the tenth generation. Number 3, an Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter the congregation of the Lord, even to the tenth generation. That's a person of incest. Those are Ammonites and Moabites were descendants of incest, descendants of Lot by his daughters. If you look in Leviticus, all kind of sexual curses in Leviticus. Leviticus 18 says uncover the nakedness means to have sexual intercourse, means sexual sin. You need to read that. That's a very complete list for incest and bestiality and homosexuality. 18. The curses from the occult are in Deuteronomy 18. 18 verses 9 through 12. We read these in the last meeting when we were talking about the accursed thing, because these are abominations to God. God said they are abominations to him. And so if you do these things, it makes you an accursed thing, and you will not be able to stand against your enemies. But if your family has done them, you must realize that God considers the occult a type of spiritual adultery. He relates it. He calls the people who do it whores. That's what he says. I can show it to you a dozen places in the Bible. He calls the people harlots and whores. He calls them harlots, prostitutes, turning to another god, taking an offering to another god, paying another god when they should be coming to him. Just read this, starting with verse 9, verse 10. There shall not be anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire. That's abortion, child sacrifice. Who practices witchcraft, soothsaying, interprets omens, or a sorcerer. A sorcerer is one who uses drugs. It's the control of people through the use of drugs and music. The modern Greek word from which is translated sorcery is pharmakomicha, from which we get our modern word pharmacy. That's right. That's the derivation of pharmacy. It comes from the word sorcery in Greek. Because the sorcerers use drugs. One who conjures spells, a medium, a spiritualist, or a necromancer. Or one who worships the dead. Any of you people ever worship dead folks? Have you ever gone and lit any candles to somebody that's dead and made a prayer to them? Jesus isn't dead now. Remember that. Jesus Christ is alive. He is the firstborn from the dead. Nobody else. Let's come back. He is the only mediator between man and God. Let's look at that. I want everybody to turn the Bible to 1 Timothy. I want you to read it. If you come from a church that teaches lighting candles to the dead, praying to people other than Jesus, I want you to read this in your Bible from that church. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Nobody else mediates between you and God but Jesus Christ. Nobody else is his co-redeemer. Nobody else is his co-intercessor. You won't find that in the Bible. You'll find it in doctrine of certain churches. But it is not. It is based on somebody's dream. Praise your Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to step on your doctrinal toes, but I just tell you to research it in the Word. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's look at the vagabond curse. The curse of the vagabond. Let's turn to Psalm 109. Now, this is a psalm that is quoted in the New Testament as referring to Judas. A portion of it referred to Judas. And all of this came to pass on Judas. But it is a curse for returning evil for good. If you have, any of your ancestors have returned evil for good, and I can show you this at least a half a dozen other places in the Bible, how God feels about people who returned evil for good. Verse 5, for they have rewarded me evil for good, for my and hatred for my love. Set a wicked man over him. Let an accuser stand at his hand, right hand. Let him be judged and found guilty. Let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few. Let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless. His wife a widow. Let his children continually be vagabonds and beg as a vagabond. Let them seek their bread also from desolate places. Let a creditor seize all he has. Let strangers plunder their labor. Let none extend mercy to him, nor let there be any favor for his father or his children. Let his prosperity be cut off. In the generation following, let his name be blotted out. And you can go on. There's another 20 verses there. It's an interesting thing. But you see this a lot in people who wander from one homeless shelter to the next. They come in, they are absolute poverty. Lots of them have tried real hard. They can't make it. And they just wander from one place to the next place, to the next place. And what they need is to have this curse broken over them. They need to be ministered to and have the sins of the fathers broken off of them and the demons cast out. Now, I see this curse in working people. I have people in my home church that I've cast this thing out of. People that couldn't hold a job. You got any friends that just goes from job to job, job, never seems to get set. Can't hold a job very long. Something goes wrong. He loses favor with the boss. Something happens. He gets fired. Now, I'm not talking about lazy folks who won't work now. You know, there's some lazy folks can't hold a job because they don't want to work. Now, that's sloth. That's the work of the flesh. But I'm talking about hard-working, honest people who want to try, who are trying, but they just can't make it. And when they do make, when they stay in debt all the time, they earn money, but there's a hole in the bottom of the sack. Their washing machine breaks down. Their car goes bad. Their kids get sick. I have a friend who has it, and he has one weakness that I can't get him away from. I prayed for him. I prayed deliverance for him. But he's a sucker for telephone salesmen. And he keeps investing. The telephone folks will call him and sell him some. And he got invested in some sort of stock here a while back. He got into bought some platinum and was sending them money by Federal Express and sending them wine. Wasn't sending it. They wouldn't take anything through the mail. He had to talk to them on the phone and send it by Federal Express. They wouldn't go through the mail. And when he finally told me what he's doing, I said, my God, they're ripping you off. What are you dealing with us folks? I got incensed. And he'd gone to one of the elders of the church to talk to him. Because he knew what I'd say, I think. And he lost all his savings. He'd saved up $4,000 and he lost all of that and went in debt $3,000. Motivating factor was greed. They told him he was going to make thousands of dollars off of this thing. You know, we won't get into that. That's the incest. I mean, that's the vagabond. Poverty curse comes down from people who returned evil for good. Now, there's another one, a very common one. Let's look at Hosea chapter 4. Now, Hosea comes right after Daniel, right for Amos. Now, I could spend at least 2 hours taking this curse apart. Called the curse of whoredom. And it starts with verse 6. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being priest for me. And because you've forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. The more they increase, the more they sinned against me. I will turn their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on iniquity. It shall be like people, like priests. So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. They shall eat, but not have enough. They'll be gluttons. They'll just keep eating all the time. They shall commit whoredom and not increase. Going to be sterile because they ceased obeying the Lord. Harlotry and wine, new wine, enslave the heart. They're going to be in bondage. Bondage to alcohol. Bondage to being whores. Whoremongers. Going to be in bondage to it. People ask counsel. They're wooden idols. And this divination rod informs them. There's your sin. Ouija boards. The occult. Idolatry. The spirit of whoredom has caused them to stray. They played the harlot against their God. There they are. The occult. God says you're a whore. Not a whore, but a prostitute. A whore doesn't charge money. A prostitute does. They played the prostitute against their God. They've offered sacrifices on the mountaintops and burned incense on the hills, under the poplars and the tree vines, because the shade is good. Therefore, your daughters will become whores and your wives will commit adultery. And so forth. There's a more to it there, but I need to stop. That is a curse from idolatry. A curse from the occult. A curse for witchcraft. It involves bondage. Bondage to drugs. Bondage to prostitution. Bondage to other sexual sin. Homosexuality can come into a family this way. Peeping Toms. Flashers. Exhibitionist, any manner of sexual sin can come into a family this way. Sometimes you will see little girls that are just, you say, oh, she's going to be a tutor rooster when she grows up and give her mother a hard time. And you know she's got a problem. It's a spiritual problem. Not something that she was taught or trained. It's just something that happened. It's a spirit and needs to be taken authority over. Curse needs to be broken. It needs to be taken authority over and cast out of that child. And give her a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is precious in God's sight. That's St. Peter. He says, but let it not be the outward adorning of gold and fine clothes, but let it be the inward grace of a quiet and a gentle spirit, which is precious in God's sight. Pray that your children will have a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is precious to God. Hallelujah. Those are curses that have come down through the family line. Those are inherited curses. They're curses because God spoke these things. He spoke them through his prophets. He spoke them through his angels to Moses. He spoke them through his prophets to his people. God spoke them. They're spoken, and they have authority. And he says, my word shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish that which I send it forth to do. Don't believe that God's word is authoritative and will accomplish what he says it's going to do? You better believe it is. He spoke this world into existence with it. Those are inherited curses that come through the sins of the fathers, and they need to be broken. You say that's not fair. I don't like that. It don't seem fair to me. Well, God didn't ask you. You know that? God's boss, and he makes the rules. Now, if you acknowledge that God is the Lord, he's the boss. And whether you acknowledge him or not, he is still the boss and he still makes the rules. And you say, so be it, Lord. How do I get out of this mess? Let's look at Galatians chapter 3. I'm sure that some of you have heard all this before, but I want to go through it again because there's some people here, when I kept speaking about curses, looked at me with a blank look. And this is the most important thing to getting free. This is immensely important that you understand that you must break generational curses. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the heathen in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's wonderful. Christ broke the curse. Boy, that's wonderful. All those curses are gone. I don't have to worry about it. That's not true. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, that the blessings of Abraham might come. And you say, oh, well, you have a precedent for that? Well, let's look back in Isaiah 53. It's there. It's there to be claimed. In Isaiah 53, verse 4. If any of you have heard me pray, you've heard me quote this over and over again. It says, surely he, that's Jesus, has borne our griefs, that's our illnesses, and carried our sorrows, that's our pain. That's what they mean. A modern translation in other languages will, for instance, in Germany, it's translated schmerz and illness. Schmerz for pain, infirmity for illness. Yet we esteemed him stricken. He was smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed.
Amen.
We are healed. If you're going to say, you have to understand that this applies, the curse applies just like this. You've got to claim your healing. And the hospitals are full of sick Christians, saved, spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christians. They didn't automatically get this. Said he was made, though he was rich, he was made poor that we might have his riches. He took our poverty that we might have his riches. All Christians are rich. None of them got any poverty. No Christian's got any financial needs at all. Because it says right there in 1 Corinthians that Jesus took all the poverty that we might have his riches. You got to claim it first, folks. You got to claim the deliverance from the curses, just like you got to claim your healing, just like you got to claim for your finances. Don't ever let anybody tell you that deliverance from the curses was automatic with salvation. It's not. You have to break them. People who don't want to deal with it, people who don't want to believe in the supernatural, who don't want to believe in demons, who don't want to believe in curses, who don't want to believe any of that, people who've got demons speaking out of them will talk to you, fine preachers, got religious spirits talking out of them, you're stepping on their doctrinal toes. I hope I don't step on any of y'all's doctrinal toes. Sometimes I do, and if I step on your toes, I apologize to you. I don't mean to. I have to speak the Word of God. All I can say to you is that if I step on your toes, look at the Word. Don't go look at the doctrinal books in the church. Read the Word and see what it says. I'm quoting the Word to you. That's all I can say to you. If I offend you, I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend anyone. It is not my purpose to offend anyone. It's my purpose to quote the Word of God to you. And if I step on your doctrinal toes, I ask you, please, pray about it. Pray about it. Read the Word and see what the Word says. If I'm wrong in the Word, please come tell me. Please, I never want to be in error. I never want to teach error. I try not to ever teach anything that I can't show you in the Bible. I think it is terribly wrong to teach from experience. I don't teach you from experience. I'll talk about experience individually, but from this stage, from this pulpit, I will not teach from experience. Only what I can find Scripture in the Bible for. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Now, those are the inherited curses. Must be broken. Now, there's another kind of curse. These are spoken curses that happen to you every day. First, I'll show you, I had real problems with curses for today. I didn't have much problem with generational curses, with curses spoken by God, but I had a problem with people speaking curses. And God gave me a supernatural experience, and what I'm going to tell you now is what he showed me that night. And he said, and I asked for verse, chapter, and verse on everything I saw, and they quoted it to me. First thing I saw was a young man who was a little kid, was about 7 years old, 6 or 7 years old. And his father was obviously intoxicated, and he was screaming at him. And I can't repeat the words he said, but he called him worthless, low down, and used profanity, and told him that he would never be any good. He would always be worthless. He would never amount to anything. The kid was with his head bowed, and a stream of light streamed out and hit him. And I said, what was that? That was the demon that the devil dispensed to bring that curse to pass. I said, where in the Bible does it say that a father can curse his son? And they said, read Genesis 27. And immediately I knew what he was talking about. Let's turn to Genesis 27. Because God put the scripture to me immediately. And I can stand here and quote it, but I won't. I want you to see it in the Bible. Here we have the story of Jacob stealing Esau's blessing, obtaining Esau's blessings by deceit. In verse 4, 27, Jacob tells Esau, make me savory fruit, such as I love, and bring it to me, I may eat it, that my soul, may bless you before I die. You remember that Rebekah told Jacob to go get a goat, and she'd cook it to make sure it would taste like deer, and she could take it in, and he says, to his mother, but Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth-skinned man, and if my father touches me, he'll know the difference. And so here he says it, verse 12, perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. Well, you know the story. He did indeed deceive his father and receive the blessing. And after he received it, Esau came and he asked for a blessing. And Jacob said, somebody came before you and stole it. He said, don't you have another one? And so he sort of dug down the sack and he gave him one that sounded more like a curse to me. I mean, he done blessed Jacob with the fields and the fullness and good crops and his brothers serving him. And he said to Esau, your dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew from heaven from above. By the sword you shall live and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. But there it is, people. A father can curse his children. A parent can curse their children. Be careful what you say to your children. Don't get angry with them and say evil, ugly things are going to happen to them. Don't call them dumb. Don't tell them that they're dumb. Don't tell them that they're worthless. Don't tell them, because those words have impact in the spiritual realm. They become self-fulfilling prophecies. Okay. Position of authority. Let's look at Numbers 5. Next, he showed me a pastor, and there was a man standing there, and the man wanted to leave the church. And the pastor said to him, it's the will of God that you stay in this church. If you leave and take your tithe away from this church, you're going to go broke. And the man said, I don't care. And he left, and that thing hit him. I said, now, where does it say a pastor can curse his flock? He said, look at Numbers 5. So let's open to Numbers 5. And here we have the example of a young woman who's been brought in, accused by her husband of infidelity. And she stands before the priest, and he takes a vessel and puts some water in it and puts some dirt off the floor in it and stirs it up. And And look at verse 19. And the priest shall put her under oath and say to the woman, if no man is lain with you, if you've not gone astray to uncleanliness while under your husband's authority, be free from this bitter water that brings a curse. But if you've gone astray under your husband's authority, and if you defile yourself and some man other than your husband's lain with you, then the priest shall put the woman under the oath of the curse. In other words, she accepts the curse. Then he shall say to the woman, the Lord make your curse and an oath among your people, and your thighs shall rot and your belly shall swell. And may this water that causes the curse go into your stomach and make your belly swell and your thighs rot. And the woman shall say, amen, so it shall be. And then Then the priest shall write these curses in a book and scrape them off in the bitter water, and the woman shall drink the bitter water that brings the curse, and she'll enter, and if she's guilty, her belly will swell and her thigh will rot, but if she's not guilty, nothing will happen. That's a curse, people. Now, she accepted it, but the priest, in position of authority, spiritual authority over her, the authority to curse her. Now, the thing is, you don't have to accept it. That man could have said, in the name of Jesus, I reject that. I can show you where you make an oath. You can counsel the oath. The woman makes an oath, and the spiritual authority hears of it. He can say, no, no, no. And the woman's not bound by it. But if he lets it lie, then she's bound by it. So you don't have to accept it. But the person in authority over you. He showed me then someone with a job, an employee, someone that has a bona fide authority over you can curse you. You don't have to accept the curses. You can say, no, I reject them in the name of Jesus. You don't have to accept them. You don't accept them, that's okay. A curse causeless cannot light. Proverbs says a curse causeless cannot light. I think it's 26. 26:2. Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause cannot light. Okay? The next thing was someone who'd been wronged. Someone who'd been wronged spoke a curse. I said, where's that? Judges 9. Let's look in Judges 9. You all remember who Gideon was. When Gideon died, he had 26 sons. 82 sons. Gideon 9. Let's see how many sons. He had a lot of them. He had one, though. And speaks of Jeroboam. That's just another name for Gideon. Anyway, Gideon had 70 sons who were his offspring. He had many wives. And by his concubine, who was in Shechem, he bore a son, and his son's name was Abimelech. Now, Abimelech, after Gideon died, Abimelech hired some worthless fellows, and they went over and killed all 70 brothers, or 69 of them. One of them got away, and he took over the judgeship. Well, let's look at verse 5. He went to his father's house at Ophrah and killed his brothers, the 70 sons of Jeroboam, on one stone. But Jonathan, the youngest son of Jeroboam, was left because he hid himself. Okay. And so they all got together, and Jonathan got up on top of this hill, and he yelled his curse down at him. And the curse starts at verse 7, and it runs through verse 21. But the crest of it is in verse 20 says, if not, let fire come from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and Melbo, and let fire come from the men of Shechem and Beth Milo and devour Abimelech. And Jonathan ran away. Now, verse 22 says, Abimelech reigned over Israel for 3 years. Verse 23, God sent a spirit of ill will between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. And the story goes on, and they consumed each other. Abimelech was storming the tower, and a woman on top of the tower took a piece of a millstone and threw it down and hit him on the head. And he told his armor bearer, he says, oh my God, he said, I am dying. Take your sword and run me through so they can't say that a woman killed Abimelech. And the next time you hear this story, it was quoted when Uriah the Hittite was killed. Joab said to the messenger he sent back to the king, and if he says to you, why did he get so close to the wall? Don't you know that the woman threw the piece of stone down and killed Abimelech? This is what they're referring to, if you want to read that, but that's in the story of Uriah the Hittite. But you see, God sent a spirit of ill will. They'd been wronged. Soulish prayers. Let's look at James 3. We talked about this last time, too. But not so much from the curse standpoint, but from the fact that it was an accursed thing to God to do this. James 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, soulish, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. That means that if you pray soulish prayers, if you pray prayers, I have women say that they're going to pray prayers that God will make this man uncomfortable so she will marry him. That's soulish prayer. That's a curse. It's a curse. It's designed to control someone else's will. Part of your soul goes out when you do that. You become an accursed thing to God. You won't be able to stand before your enemy. I remember I was praying for this young man who wanted the whoredom curse broken off of him. And he was having lots of, he had been through a lot of things. And he'd met this very nice young lady. And he told me, he said, I've been praying that God will just make her so uncomfortable she'll marry me. I said, that's witchcraft. You can't do that. That's witchcraft. You can't do that. Those are soulish prayers. So you ask God to bless her and that his will be done in your life. But don't you ask God to, God is not going to put a hook in that woman's nose and drag her into your life. He won't do that. If you are having problems with your loved ones, how you pray, you ask God to bless them. You remember all the good things. Bring up all the good points to God and ask him to bless them. What God does with them and how he changes them is his business, not yours. But when you try to control someone else, that's a soulish prayer. And it's a sin. It's a curse. Sometimes lust spirits, you get people who will lust after someone. And they will pray that God will set it up, that they can have this person. You know the tricks that the flesh will play on you when you start living in the soul, living in the flesh. I mean, the tricks your heart will play on you. For your heart is deceitful above all things and incurably ill. Only God knows the heart. Said, I, God, test the heart. That's Jeremiah 17. Let's look at that. Turn to Jeremiah 17. I want to show you some other curses. Steve Bell has got a book over there with 120 curses in it. They've gone through, and it's called Breaking Free. And I think it's good reading for everybody. Jeremiah 17. 17 says, cursed is a man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, his heart departs from the Lord. He shall be like a scrub in the desert. He shall not see good when it comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and the salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in God, whose hope in God. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. He will not fear when the heat comes. A leaf will be green. He will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease yielding fruit. That's a blessing and a curse. Always remember that God allows you to choose. Do you want the blessing? Your actions boil down to two things, blessing or the curse. You have to choose. If you live in the flesh, the curse. If you live in the spirit, the blessing. That's it, people. If you trust in God, you're going to be blessed. He's going to take care of everything. He says you're going to be like a tree planted by the waters and spreads out its roots by the river. And you won't fear when the heat comes and your leaf will be green. And you won't be anxious in the year of drought. And you won't ever stop yielding fruit. A man, if you trust, if you lean on the flesh, you're going to be like a scrub out there in the desert, the salt, uninhabited. It's going to be tough. That's what it boils down to. You want the blessing or you want the curse. That's a choice that you make. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. You're going to partake of the accursed thing and not be able to stand before your enemies? Or you're going to partake of God's blessing? Praise your Lord Jesus. The last type of curse is the curse of witchcraft. Let's look at Ezekiel 13. Professional. There are people who are actually professionals. You don't have to be a professional, but they are professionals. You can be amateurs. But their folks get paid for this. Now, I could spend the next 3 hours talking about witchcraft and the way the witches operate and all that sort of thing. I'm not interested in doing that. I'm going to say this to you. Keep your finger in Ezekiel and turn to Numbers 25. I want you to look at this. Keep your finger there and let's go to Numbers 20. Because I have people that just get scared to death when I sit up and talk about curses and about witches. And the Numbers 23. You remember that Balak hired Balaam, a prophet of God who loved money. And he fell and became a soothsayer. If you read this, you'll find that he talked to God. The word there is Jehovah. He talked to the true God. But he liked that gold so much that although he couldn't curse these people, he told the king how to bring them under God's curse. It says so in Revelation 2. Let's look at this. Chapter 23, verse 21. Here, he's gone up on it, and he's offered a sacrifice. He's been paid to curse these people, and he blesses them. And he says in verse 21, he has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen any wickedness in Israel. And he goes on down to 23. There's no sorcery, no enchantment or witchcraft against Jacob, nor is there any divination against Israel. Why? Because there was no wickedness. Like I said, a curse causes cannot light. A witch cannot put a curse on you unless you've got sin in your life. You've got staying in sin. Now, they will send a familiar spirit to read you. They will send a familiar spirit to read you to see where your opening is. A missionary to Borneo talked to me about witchcraft once. And he said when he first went over there, he won a lot of people. And the witch doctor came to him. And the witch doctor said, they paid me kill you, to put a curse of death on you. So I did my thing. And the demon came back and told me that you have a much stronger spirit protecting you, that he cannot touch you. He said, really? He said, yes. And he said, I want you to know that you have more power than I do. And I respect you for it. Nevertheless, I must earn a living and these people keep paying me to curse you. And when they pay me, I must curse you because I have to support my family. And if you have aggrieved that spirit so he departs from you, you'll be open to the curse. He said that he did get discouraged once, and he did. There were two times he fell into open sin, and both times he almost died with illness. That he almost died with illness. That it was twice that he got real discouraged, fell into open sin, and he almost died. Now, he did not describe the sin to me, whether he was greedy or whether he stole money or whether he beat his wife or whether he snuck out on his wife and was unfaithful. I don't know. He didn't say. I didn't ask him. He didn't volunteer it. And that type of conversation, you don't ask questions. You're grateful for the knowledge that he imparted. And he was being very frank and open with me, and I didn't feel that if he did not wish to share what he did, then I didn't ask. But I want you to know that they cannot put a curse on you if you don't have open sin in your life. You've got open sin in your life, they curse you in that area. Most professional curse casters say that they're very careful about the casting of curses. They check very carefully to make sure, because sometimes those demons will come back on them. The demon will go out. They hate everybody. They hate all humans. The devil has put them in subjection to this man, and they go out, and they can't accomplish it, and they bounce back on them. I can show you scripture for that, too. That's in Psalm 109. Let's see what it says. I can quote it, but I don't like quoting it. I like to read it. I'm always afraid I'm going to misquote it. He loved curses, so let it come on him. He did not delight in blessings, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, as with a garment, so let it enter his body like water and oil in his bones. Let it be like a garment which covers him and a belt which continually girds him. Lest this be the Lord's reward to my accusers, to those who speak evil against my person. That's in Psalm 109. What I do is, unless God specifically tells me to return the curse, I just bless them. God said, bless those who curse you. Don't bless. Let's look at Romans 15. I've taken too much time. I'm sorry. I've gone down too many rabbit trails. Let's look at Romans 12, verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Do not curse. Romans 7, 12:17, repay no one evil for evil. Romans 19, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Number 20, therefore if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. In so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And the last verse, which is in Proverbs, and God will reward you. If you want to look at that, that's Proverbs 25, 22. I think you need to see that. Turn over to Proverbs 25, 22. It's an absolute promise of God that when you treat those with... Here it is. Verse 22. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord and Jehovah will reward you. So when your enemy hungers, feed him. When you thirst, give him a drink. God will reward you. God will reward you. I mean, what more can you ask for? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Leave room for the wrath of God. If you want your vengeance, if you want reward from God, let God take care of you. I can tell you the wheels of God grind slowly, but they do grind exceedingly fine. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Witchcraft. Parents can control children. If you try, there's a fine line between... Parents have a responsibility to their children to set reasonable limitations on their demands and on their behavior. But if you go beyond that and try to bend them to your will to control them, then you're into witchcraft. And you have to pray and ask God how far you're supposed to go. The sister this morning told us, God said, just love him. Even though he's drinking whiskey in your house and taking your money and drinking for whiskey, love him. Now, ordinarily, I wouldn't have done that. I would have cut him off. Those have been the rules of my house. But she said no. So she did what God, and God rewarded her. So but a husband and wife relationship, if the husband tries to control the wife by manipulating the money, manipulating circumstances, to get his way, it's witchcraft. If a wife tries to manipulate her husband through control of sex, by manipulating circumstances, by manipulating the children, that's witchcraft. A boss will try to control his employees the same way. And then you're your professionals. Some of the larger corporations, the one I'm thinking of now, actually have witchcraft in their boardrooms. They burn black candles. They say this in this works. It increases our take, increases our bottom line, and that's what we're interested in. That same company now is engaging in, and I don't, praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I want to talk, so the curses, they're the inherited curses, come down, spoken by God through his prophets, through angels, that still apply to us today. There's curses that are spoken by ourselves and by people around us. For God's curses, we have two choices. We can choose the curse or the blessing. Always remember that God never gives a curse without a blessing. If you live in obedience to God's word, you'll get the blessings. If you transgress his word, you'll get the curses, and you can choose. You choose this day. You know, choose this day. That's what Joshua said. Choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I will serve the Lord. I will serve the Lord. For the curses that come upon you from spoken curses that come from other sources, I say to you, for your to parents, be careful what you say to your children. Be careful. Don't project your children to wrath. If you make a mistake, confess it as sin. Tell your child you were sorry you said that. Apologize. Repent. Turn away from it. Confess it as sin to God. Break the curse. You see, you can break it just like you could say it if you've got enough moral character. It takes a little moral character to tell your child you were wrong. But the Holy Spirit will give you that if you ask for it. The relationship with other people, with your pastor, don't accept spoken curses. If they speak them behind your back, God will show it to you. If there's no sin in your life, it won't come to light. If you sin, don't let the sun go down on your sin. It says, you know, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down your anger. Things in the spirit world are done on a 24-hour basis, people. I mean, the Hebrew day started at sunset. You sin. You mess up. Get on your knees before sunset. You confess it and repent and turn away from it. Make it right. And the God of heaven will bless you. And you'll partake of the blessings. And there you won't have to get out and look for them. They'll come down the road and overtake you. Amen. Amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand up and praise God a little bit. For it said somewhere that the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, we praise you. Praise your name. Let's pray in tongues, folks. Hallelujah. Mashandio, Leshipadio, Mashatia, Kamashandio. Eleshundio, Mashatia, Kamashandio. Lashapara, Mashandio, Leshimadio, Mashandia. Ekashundio, Mashatia, Kamashandio, Leshipadio, Mashandia. Oh, Mashandia, Lashambara, Mashatio, Kamashandio, Leshimadio, Mashatia. Ekashundale Shimario Mashatia Kamashandio Mashatia Kamashundio Le Shapadio Mashandia La Shapara Mashandio. Oh, praise you, Lord. Okay, though, let's sit down and everybody put both feet on the floor and I'm going to lead you through a confession. Thank you, Lord, for dying for my sins. Well, first, is anybody in here who hasn't been through a mass deliverance service before? Thank you, Lord, for dying for my sins. For your glorious resurrection. And making me a new creature in Christ by faith. In your precious blood. Dear Lord, I have a confession to make. I've sought supernatural experience apart from you. I've disobeyed your word. I want you to help me renounce all these things. Cleanse me in body, soul, and spirit. In Jesus' name. I renounce witchcraft and magic, Ouija boards, and other occult games. All seances, clairvoyance, mediums, ESP, second sight, and mind reading. I renounce all fortune telling, palm reading, tea leaf reading, crystal balls, card laying. Renounce all astrology, interest in horoscopes. I renounce the heresy of reincarnation. And all healing groups involved in metaphysics. I renounce all hypnosis under any excuse or authority. I break any curse placed on me from an occult source. In Jesus' name. I renounce all curiosity about either the past or the future. Which is outside your will. I renounce water witching and dousing. Levitation and body lifting. Table tipping. Psychometric. And automatic writing. I renounce astral projection. And other demonic skills. I renounce all literature I've ever read in these fields. And vow I'll destroy such books in my possession. I now break, in the name of Jesus Christ, all psychic heredity and any demonic hold on my family line as a result of disobedience of any of my ancestors. I'll also break any bonds of physical or mental illness. In the Jesus' name. I break all subjugation. Demonic subjugation. to my father, mother,
grandparents,
or any other human being,
living or dead.
I renounce in the name of Jesus everything psychic or occultic.
I renounce every cult that denies the blood of Jesus.
Every philosophy that denies the divinity of Jesus.
I call upon the Lord to set me free.
Lord, I have another confession to make.
I have not loved,
but resented certain people.
I have unforgiveness, Lord.
Lord, I call upon you
to help me forgive them.
I do now forgive.
Here we're going to pause for a few minutes.
Anybody that you've got any unforgiveness out in your heart against, anybody that the Holy Spirit brings up, just say, I forgive. And forgive them now. So that's an act of your will.
I do now
forgive myself
in the name of Jesus.
I renounce every evil spirit
that binds or torments me.
I call upon the Lord
to set me free.
In the name of Jesus.
For it is written
in Joel 2:32.
Anyone
calls upon the name of the Lord
shall be delivered.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, Lord Jesus, I just bind the spirits of rejection in the name of Jesus Christ. Rejection by parents, rejection by mother, by father, by friends. I bind all spirits of rejection in the name of Jesus Christ. These are not rejected people. These are children of God. They've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, according to Ephesians 1:7. In the name of Jesus, I just bind all spirits of rejection, of being unloved and unwanted in the name of Jesus. I bind any spirit of fear of not being loved and not being wanted. I bind all spirits of fear of being unloved and not wanted and not cared for in the name of Jesus. I just bind your spirits of fear. I tell you to come out now in the name of Jesus. Any anger or sorrow in the name of Jesus, turn them loose now. You turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus. Turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose now. Go, go, go. All fear. Fear. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being wanted. Fear of not being accepted in the name of Jesus Christ. Fear of not being being able to make it in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go, go. All fear. Leave her now in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn her loose now. Put both feet on the floor, sister. Turn her loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn her loose now. Come out of her fear in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Be gone. Rejection, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All rejection, all fear, all bitterness, all deep hurt, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go. All rejection, all bitterness, all fear, now in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the spirit of rejection and fear and bitterness in the name of Jesus Christ. I put Jesus in the bitter pool in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. All roots of bitterness, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, bitterness. Come out. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. I break all bondages to fear, bondages to rejection in the name of Jesus Christ. All witchcraft bondages, all curses of bondages in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of whoredom in the name of Jesus Christ. The curse of fear in the name of Jesus. Go, go. I bind all witchcraft, Jezebel, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn these people loose. Come out, come out. All witchcraft fear in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. All the occult, all spirits of the occult, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All Ouija board spirits, all divination spirits, come out. All card laying spirits, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. All spirits of horoscopes, in the name of Jesus, come out. Come out. Come out. All you horoscope spirits, all you spirits of divination, all you spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Out, 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 in the name of Jesus. Come out, come out, come out. All spirits of psychic heredity in the name of Jesus. All spirits of ESP and clairvoyance. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus. All of you. Go. 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 I bind you in Jesus' name. You can't. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Touch these.
Oh, God. Send the hornets from heaven.
Send the hornets in, Lord Jesus. Lord, you said you'd send the hornets in to drive out the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Lucites and the Hittites and the Ammonites and the Jebusites, Lord. Send your hornets in to drive them out, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I come against all spirits now, all spirits of witchcraft, of bondage to witchcraft, alcoholism, bitterness, disappointment, deep hurt, all wounded spirits in the name of Jesus, all spirits of deep hurt, all spirits of passivity in the name of Jesus Christ, all spirits of hurt and deep hurt in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. All spirits of deep hurt, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Hurt spirits, wounded spirits, come out. I speak to the knife of betrayal, and I say, come out of them in the name of Jesus Christ. I pull the knife of betrayal out of their back in the name of Jesus. Come out. I speak to the spirits of desertion in the name of Jesus. Come out, desertion. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Being deserted by parents, being deserted by children, being deserted by husband, being deserted by friends in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of desertion, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn God's people loose. Turn them loose now in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. Be gone. Be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus. I speak to all stubborn spirits, of stubbornness and anger and rage and hostility. I speak to spirit of perverseness in the name of Jesus. Perverse spirits in the name of Jesus. All spirits of perverseness, all animal spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of anger and rage and murder and hostility, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I say, come out. All spirits of jealousy in the name of Jesus, I bind you, jealousy. All spirits of suicide, depression, suicide, murder, anger, rage, heaviness, come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of criticism, criticizing spirits of critical spirits, fault-finding spirits, come out, fault-finding, criticizing, nitpicking, come out, you nitpicking spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of the nitpicker, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Set God's people free in the name of Jesus. I bind all of you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I bind you and I command you to leave God's people now. In the name of Jesus Christ, be gone. I speak to all religious spirits, all lying spirits, all religious spirits, all seducing spirits, all deceptive spirits, all spirits of deception in the name of Jesus Christ, all religious spirits, all necromancy spirits, all idolatry spirits, come out. Come out. Come out. All religious idolatry, all necromancy, come out. I bind you in the name of Jesus and command you to leave. Be gone. Be gone. All spirits of Mariology, in the name of Jesus, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Mary, Queen of Heaven, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, Queen of Heaven. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I say, out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, Queen of Heaven. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out, Queen of Heaven. I bind you. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. In the name of Jesus. I speak to all necromancy spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All doctrinal spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of religious doctrine in the name of Jesus. All false doctrine. I speak to the spirit of the other Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out. Spirits of another Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. All spirits of another Jesus. Another Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, turn them loose now. All spirits of Jezebel, all spirits of witchcraft, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All of you, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, I break the curse of whoredom in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to the spirit of the whore. Come out, come out, come out. Come out, whoremongering spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, come out. I speak to fornicating spirits, come out, come out. All spirits of the fornicator, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, come out. I speak to all genital sex, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All bestiality, I bind you. All incest, spirits of incest, I break the curse of incest. And I bind you, incest. I say, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, incest. Come out in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Be gone from God's people. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Speak to all cancer spirits in the name of Jesus. Come out, cancer. Come out, cancer. Come out, cancer. Come out. I speak to all the hunters of souls. I bind the hunter of souls in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, hunter of souls in the name of Jesus. I bind you. I break the curse that gives you the legal right to be there. I break all covenants made in your behalf. I break all blood covenants. Make all contracts. The hunter of souls, I bind you. And I say, come out, hunter of souls in the name of Jesus Christ. All hunter of souls in the name of Jesus. Be gone.
Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone, haunter of souls. I speak healing to the soul in the name of Jesus Christ. I call back the tattered soul in the name of Jesus. I speak against arthritis. I bind arthritis. I bind spiritual deception, seducing spirits, homosexual spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind you all. I bind all the sex spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind all animal spirits, all bestiality spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of peeping Tom and the exhibitionist in the name of Jesus Christ. The flasher and the exhibitor in the name of Jesus. I bind all of you. And I say, come out in the name of Jesus Christ and be gone. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Set your people free now, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord God. Lord, I come against the spastic colons now in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of the spastic colon in the name of Jesus. I come against all spirits of condylema, all snake spirits. Come on out, condylema, in the name of Jesus. All snake spirits, in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn loose, in the name of Jesus. All snake spirits. All idolatry spirits, in the name of Jesus. Come out. I speak against Lefaupin, and I say, leave her, in the name of Jesus. Turn her loose. Turn her loose, in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn her loose. By the blood. By the blood of Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we thank you and we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. 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 Praise and bless and glorify you, Lord God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Turn her loose now. Turn her loose now. All of you now. Praise and bless and glorify you, Lord God. Great and mighty God. Great and mighty God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Let's everybody stand up now. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Touch your people now, Lord God. Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I call back now the portions of soul that have been stolen from these people, Lord God. I send forth the war angels to break any containers containing part of their soul that's been stolen from them by witchcraft or any other method, Lord God. It was stolen before they were born in some cases. In the name of Jesus, Lord. And Lord, I just send forth the war angels now to break these containers, the ministering spirits to gather it up, Lord. For you said you would lead us by the side still waters and green pastures, and you would restore our souls. Lord, restore their mind, their will, and their emotion, Lord Jesus. Touch them now and fill them with your spirit, the spirit of understanding and counsel and might and knowledge and fear of the Lord. Lord, I speak grace to them, Lord God. I speak the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask you to fill them full now, Lord, and touch them, Lord, and fill them with the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, Lord God. Lord, let your joy descend upon them now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let your joy descend, Lord. Oh, God, let your joy come down, Lord God. Baptize them in your joy, Lord God. Hallelujah, 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 Lord. Lord, I just ask you to bless the food now, Lord God. Just bless the food that was prepared, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for these good people, Lord. I speak the blessings of Abraham upon them, Lord. I speak the blessings of Abraham upon them, Lord Jesus. God, I just ask you to touch them now, Lord, and fill them with your Holy Ghost. Fill them full, Lord. Fill them just absolutely full and overflowing, Lord. Let them know, Lord, the joy of your salvation, Lord God. Oh, God, touch them with the joy of your salvation, Lord God, that they will know that they will know that they're children of God. Lord, I just thank you and bless you, Lord. I just ask you to bless them now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.